just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus and what he means to us. Our salvation, our joy, our coming King, our healer, all in all he is to us. And we're so happy that we've been aliens from God at one time, sinners without hope in the world. Christ took our place as a sinner at the cross and died for us, that we might be, through the reconciliation of his own life, brought back to God. We're so thankful for that. I pray that you'll meet with us in a special way tonight, Lord, and continue to be in this meeting as our brethren come to continue. We pray that you'll just bless abundantly, Lord, throughout the entire campaign. Forgive all of our sins and help us to be your servants. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You be seated. So happy to be here tonight in the service of the Lord. Excuse me. And to be sorry that it's the last part of the service. But for my part, following me is Brother Tommy Osborne and Brother Tommy Hicks and Brother Wilbur Ogilvie. And I know these men, and they're a wonderful man. And I think Brother Osborne is to follow me tomorrow. And what a privilege it is. I wish I could only stay in here, Brother Osborne. You're in for a great treat, Brother Osborne, a wonderful man of God. With faith, and how many ever know F.F. Bosworth? Let's see here. I'm so glad. I want to tell you that Brother Bosworth is doing real well. I was in Indianapolis a few weeks ago having a campaign. They called me and said he's under the oxygen tent, and Miss Boswell said, Brother Brown, stay close. He wants you to preach his funeral as soon as he passes away. About nearly 87 years old, something like that. And he said he wants you to, he's always wanted you to preach his funeral. And I said, Sister Boswell, you don't mean my brother is going to be asked, he's just going in any minute. We got right down the floor and prayed for him with all of our hearts. And the next evening, he called me up and said, you know, Brother Brown, we're not going to be in an Anthony Heavy in this meeting. And Brother Osborne has been with Brother Bosworth. And Brother Osborne is a young Brother Bosworth with all the knowledge that Brother Bosworth had of the Word plus. And so I'm sure you're in for a great treat with a real Christian when you hear Brother C.L. Osborne. And now, Brother Tommy Hicks is following Dan, and I'm sure you're all acquainted with Tommy Hicks. Tommy Hicks wasn't known until just a few years ago. I didn't even know him myself. And I wouldn't say, but I believe he was at one of the meetings or something and got really just set up on God. And that little fella took off down to Argentina somewhere without hardly a dime in his pocket. And God met with him there and gave him one of the greatest revivals, I guess, has been held in the last days down there among the people in South America. And how he's loved down there. And the great meetings, you've seen it in the magazines, the pastor article. Forceful speaker, a real man of God. I've worked with Brother Tommy Hicks for a long time, and a real true Christian, a real man. You'll enjoy hearing every minute of him as he's speaking to you and praying for your sake. And also, Brother Wilbur Ogilvie is going to be along. I don't know Brother Ogilvie as well as I know Brother Hicks, but he's been on the field, I guess, longer than Brother Hicks. But I have met Brother Ogilvie a few times, and a real Christian gentleman. I've never heard him preach, but they tell me he's a forceful speaker. He has to be to hold the meetings that he does and have the favor with God that he does. So you see, you're in for a great meeting the rest of this week. Be sure to attend and hear these real Christians preaching, for they'll be in by tomorrow, and they'll be
speaking tonight for them.
Brother Joseph comes up and there's somewhere in the meeting. Well, brethren, I've said it to your face. I've said it to you back. I don't know where you are, but anyhow, the Lord bless you. Maybe I wouldn't have bragged that hard of you if I knew you'd be here. They're a real man of God anyhow, and I love them. I hope you get to shake your hand before we... Now, what do you know to that? That's the way it goes. But, well, they'll tell you, I'll quit now on that. All right, well, we're glad we got a real resurrected Lord, haven't we? Oh, of that. Now, this has been one of my outstanding trips to Chicago, and I never thought that I'd ever preach on the hard things that it is. And I thought, now, on the correction of the church and bringing back the morals to the church, but when letters and telephone calls come in, so that's just what we needed, Brother Brennan. Made me feel good. I thought I heard somebody speaking. So, you know, I come over two or three times with certain things. Last night I had a subject in my mind, a good preacher, and I said, yeah. And David, in the first Psalm, said, blessed is the man. I was going to preach on the blessed man. And I turned around and came to preached on the pain-faced Jezebel. So, I forgot that. I went over the day to preach something over at the church, and when I got to the platform, I thought, there's something in the Bible about something, and I had Brother Joseph read his text and started preaching from there. So, it's been a real jubilee to me of having this fellowship with you and to see that you're long-suffering. And I appreciate it, because I'm not much of a speaker. You know that by this time. But I want to go on record in heaven that when I appeared before this generation, I stood for God and right. I want it real clear in heaven, and I'm sure you do too. And now, tonight is we're going to have healing services, and I think you've got a lot of cards, and many I said probably won't be able to get to, all of you, but what I want was the brethren who follow me, each one with an outstanding ministry, far exceeding mine when it comes to praying for the sick. Absolutely. These men have a greater success in praying for the sick than I do. Mine is kind of a prophetic type. And these men are really gifts of healing. And I'm so happy to know that they're coming to pray for you sick people and to preach the gospel to you, saved and unsaved. Now, praise army. Where I go, I'm figuring out a worldwide tour, every major city in the world, if I can, and to get Navy workers to follow up. And now, that's coming this next June. My next close meeting here that I know of, from here I go to Salmon, Idaho, but the next close meeting will be in Lima, Ohio, and that's January the 10th to the 15th with the Baptist people. And then we're going on to the east from there, and then back to the west coast. Oh, I beg your pardon. On January, as there, we're going back to the West Coast and then make ready for overseas. Now, pray for me, and if I don't get to see y'all in Chicago until I go overseas, there's something wrong. Remember, when the winds are blowing hard, the devil is tempting every way, witch doctors are setting up to make a challenge. Can it depend on you praying for me? Good. In some glorious day, if we never meet this side of heaven again, I hope that in that great, glorious jubilee day, when the saints of God crown the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the angels stand around the earth with bowed heads while we sing the redemption song, I hope to meet you there, all clothed in His righteousness, and going into the great world that's coming on, where there be no more sickness, no more prayer for the sick, all these things will fade away. Until then, may God keep you healthy and happy, and serving Him. In the book of St. Matthew, just by the way of speaking for a little while, and I kind of see a draw it on that, actually I know these other brethren are here, but in the book of St. Matthew, the 12th chapter, and the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, 12, 13th, and 14th verses, I wish to read a portion of Scripture for a little text or to see if God will give us the context from it. And he said unto him, Friend, how comest thou hither, having no wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king unto his servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And may the Lord add his blessings to his word. Now we have a great subject here under consideration, which is a parable that the Lord taught in the Bible. And I never could, as a boy preacher, I used to try to wonder what these parables meant. And I never could understand it just right until once I visit the Eastern country. The Bible is an Eastern book, and we try to understand it by a Western understanding. When you go east, it becomes a different book to you, because it's wrote in the life of Eastern knowledge. And the Eastern people receive the Holy Spirit first, and civilization always travels with the sun, and so has the gospel traveled with the sun. The civilization, to my opinion, came by the gospel. You take any country that doesn't respect God, there's not much civilization to it. And so civilization, Christianity, is the grassroots of civilization. And that's a remark that Mr. Nixon said one morning at a breakfast we were at up there at Washington, D.C., with a Christian businessman. And now, as the sun travels west, the gospel has traveled west. Now, the prophet says there will be a day that won't be either day or night, but in the evening it shall be light. Now, 2,000 years ago, on the Eastern people, the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the Eastern people, the Jews and so forth in the East. And then, about the first round of the apostles, it began to fade out. The second round, it was pretty near gone. Went on out into the Dark Ages, come back just a little teeny bit of light in the Reformation, come on down to the Wesley Age, but we're travel all the way from the east to the entire west coast. We're as far west as we can go. And the gospel has come across with it. But now, it's been a day, said the prophet, that'll either be light or dark, kind of a dismal day, kind of foggy and cloudy. We've had enough light to say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, He saves from sin. But all the days of miracles and things, that was way back in the east. But the prophet says it'll be light in the east. And now on the Western people, in this Western hemisphere here, is poured out the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The sun has come out to shine again at the setting, just as it did at the rising. And the same Holy Ghost that fell on the Eastern people 2,000 years ago has been shattered by creeds and denominations coming across this day of not dark your life, but in the evening time while she's setting, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is poured out on the Western people with the same potion, the same signs, and the same wonders that they did on the Eastern people. Just exactly. So when you go to the East, you find out that the parables, especially of the Bible, just wake up to you. They become a new reality. They have meaning. And in the East, they seldom ever change their customs. They are what they had in the beginning. They still hold on to those customs. And now our text tonight is dealing with a wedding supper. Or you should see it. And Jesus taught of it here in many places. He gave these parables. And if you ever visit the Eastern country, you find out just those parables. They are still living them same customs that they did then. Now, in this place, the wedding supper was made. Matthew 22 gives a very good description of it. That he said that in the book of Matthew, that there was a king who had a son, and he made a supper for his son, and it was a wedding supper. What a beautiful parable, or a prophetic quote, that the King of Heaven was making a supper for his son, Christ Jesus. That was the meaning of the parable. So, God making a supper for his son, Christ Jesus. And if you watch the setting as we try to dig into it and find the settings of the way the supper had to be arranged in the Oriental and Eastern type, it's a very beautiful picture of the coming of the Son of God and the wedding supper that we're all going to one of these days you are born again of the Spirit of God. Beautiful. Now he said the first thing, if the supper was set, no persons are allowed to come to this supper unless they are invited. You have to be invited first before you go to any dinner of that type. Now, I don't like to call it dinner. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe it's still supper. We don't take the Lord's dinner, we take the Lord's supper. And this here dinner stuff, it always makes me get hungry. I miss a meal somewhere. So I like dinner, breakfast, and supper. And so I still believe it's the Lord's supper we take. And so anyhow, when you're invited out to supper, you have to be invited before you be welcome to come. And if you would not be invited and you would go anyhow, you'd be a poacher. That wouldn't be right. You'd be disqualified. Now, what a beautiful thing it is God is setting a day that when he is going to have a great supper set to a celebration for his son, the Lord Jesus, who has pleased him in every way. And God the Father is inviting those who he chooses. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father invites him first. Is that right? No man can come to me except he has an invitation from my Father. He's a king. Has to give the invitation. And you tonight just have that invitation, how happy you ought to be. I tell you, if President Eisenhower, and I'm not a politician, and but I think that Eisenhower has been one of the greatest presidents since Lincoln. I like him. He's a real gentleman. And if President Eisenhower would invite some people to come to a great dinner that he was going to give or a great supper, what would you, you would swell out. You want everybody to know. You would by no means turn that back and write, boy, wrong address and send it back. Why, you wouldn't do that? You'd be, as the old street expression, if you refuse it, crowing around it, showing everybody. See, the president invited me. Well, sure, you ought to be happy about it. How much more should you be crowing about it, as we call it, if God invited you to the wedding supper of his son? How much more have you got to be thankful for? Now, Mr. Eisenhower, a great man as he is, it would be an honor to set at the table with Eisenhower. But how much greater honor would it be to set with the Son of God? What an honor that would be. How I would like to tell everybody that I have been invited to Eisenhower's supper. Why, I'd be happy. But how much more happier am I to know I'm invited to God's Son's supper. Amen. The wedding supper of his Son. And we're to have a part of it, too, when we get there. We're to be included in it. Our name's already on the register. What? Those who he foreknew, he has justified. Those who he has justified, he has already has been glorified. That's what the scripture says. What's he scared about that? If your name is written there, you got your own salvation. But if it's written there, you'll be there, don't worry. Be sure it's there. Now, if Eisenhower would send you the invitation, how happy you would be. And another thing, I wouldn't think that you would try to go as an insult to Mr. Eisenhower's supper by wearing your old greasy clothes. Would you think so? All dirty and old pair of hobnail shoes on, whiskers over your face or something or other, you wouldn't go out and say, hey, look here, I want to tell you something. Eisenhower told me I could come and said, oh, that would be disgraceful to Eisenhower. Well, how much more disgraceful is it? You who claim to have an invitation to the wedding supper, walk around with makeup on and act like the world, smoking and drinking and carrying on. Clean up if you're going to the wedding supper. You don't want to do that. Get out of it. See? Act like you're going somewhere. Amen. I'll be here if you really got the invitation and accept it, you will do it. Could you imagine? My heart clean all the dirt out of my fingernails and everything else. Get every little dirty thing that's hanging off of you. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that's the easy to set us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Oh my, what an example he gave. What aren't we to do then? We're going somewhere to a wedding supper. And this is God speaking to the heart. You don't realize what that is if you turned on each night in evangelistic service. When God knocks at your heart and said, God, I'm inviting you to come to me tonight. Come by the way of the cross where my precious son paid the price. Come in at the door. I'm inviting you, and you turn him down. I imagine he would turn Mr. Eisenhower down but one time. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And he said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come, now let me talk it over with you. Oh, I just love it. Come and let's sit down now in the church tonight. Forget about all the day's work, and let's reason it together. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Think it, God wanting to reason out with you your problem. And in so, showing you where you're wrong by the preaching of the word, and then giving you an invitation to come to his house for eternal life, and you turn it down. Could you imagine that? Well, that's what people do. Or could you imagine accepting it and not be elated and happy and full of joy? Say, so, well, I went up and put my name on the book. I become a charter member of the church. Well, that's what you did. But you never accepted the invitation to heaven. You'd be telling everybody about it. Yes, when God really comes down and gives you the invitation and you accept it really from your heart, you're glad to tell everybody about it. I'm going to glory. Praise the Lord. God spoke to my heart. Sure, I'm a Christian. You love to do that. If you're really enthused about it. And God calling sinners, this alien and enemy, God calling enemies to try to be reconciled with them, not the president now, God of heaven, calling aliens, enemies against him, to reconcile them to himself and give them eternal life and bring them into his home to live forever as children. Why, more than the human mind could fathom. To think of the God of heaven would do something like that. But he did it, and he taught it here. Now, the invitation was given, and no one can give the invitation except God himself. That's right. God has to give the invitation. All right. Now, when God gave the invitation, he made the supper ready, the king did, and he made all things ready before he sent out his invitation. The bridegroom would always do that in the oriental wedding ceremony. Make all things ready. He said in the Bible here, I have killed my fatling, I have killed my lambs and my ox and so forth, and the table's all spread, everything's ready. He's got everything ready before he gives the invitation. That was the customs in that day. Make everything ready. Now, God has made everything ready. You don't have to wait for a thing that's already fixed. Christ has done, died once, the just for the unjust, that he might make a way of reconciliation by his blood to bring you unto himself.
And he's already made heaven's already prepared. In my Father's house is many mansions. I'll go and prepare a place and come again to receive you unto myself. The preparation has been appropriated for your salvation. Christ died once and settled in question forever. You were saved the very hour that Christ died. Every person that ever lived in the world from that time in was saved at that time. And every healing that was ever performed, the appropriation of the blood was shed at Calvary for every healing that would ever be taken place when Jesus died at Calvary. It settled the question of sin and every attribute of sin. How can man, how can you stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel and deny divine healing? Why, the pagan of Africa can produce a better God than what you've got to produce. You just deny, and call, if you call me that, I'd be ready to have you arrested. Making God a little weakling. You know more than he does. God is strong. What it is. And God keeps everything else just in the corner. All your theology and your churchianity and all your know-how and everything else drops in the corner when God speaks his word takes place and it's predominant over every man's word. Let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That settles it as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, he's no weaker, he's still Almighty God. Everything's provided. We're waiting. Now, Christ came, the law came, Moses came, Elijah came, the prophets came, and everything that pointed to Calvary came to there, and the Lamb was slain. And everything is provided and waiting. Now the next thing has to be, the invitation has to be given out. And God alone comes and gives them out. The preacher says, all things are ready. That's the preacher speaking. All things are ready. The invitation went forth. The preacher said, all things are ready. God gave the invitation after the preaching of the word. How do you know all things are ready? It's written in the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. Your healing is ready. Your great jubilee is ready tonight. Hallelujah. God's great divine healing campaign for you is ready. Amen. The Christ has been killed, his blood has been shed, the Holy Ghost is here, and the Father is giving you an invitation. All things are ready. Who says so? The Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. God uses preachers to bring the word. You hear by faith. Elijah was sitting up on the mountain, and God told him to go down, because down there was a widow woman that was in trouble. And she was out in the yard trying to pick up two sticks. And down the street comes the preacher, the prophet. And as he walked by, he leaned over the fence in this widow in the yard. He said, go fetch me a little water and a morsel of bread. And she said, look, see how God knows how to send. God had already given her the invitation. Here comes the preacher to preach the word, Elijah. And he said, bring me this morsel of bread and a little water. And she said, as the Lord liveth, that I only had just a little bit of meal. That was a steak to bail all out, dusted it out. And I got just enough shortening to make one little cake. And I'm here getting two sticks. And I'm going to bake the cake. My son and I will eat it and die. Oh, I wish I had time to get in on that. This I feel it pouring from heaven. Look, The toothpick was the cross. The old Indian in the old-fashioned way of making a fire. You woodsmen, my brethren, know what I mean. You take and build a fire in the middle of the two logs and keep pushing the ends in. The heat is in the middle. And she said, I'm going in and take these two sticks and build a fire and cook the cake. And the cake was made a meal, which means the wave offering, which was Christ. And I'm going to bake it with fire of Holy Ghost. Barb, you had time to get into it. In the middle of the cross. And the son and I are going to eat it and die. What? Here comes the word. The preacher, and he cometh by hearing, bearing the word. Listen, Elijah. Go seek God first. Take that little cake and bring it out to me. For thus saith the Lord. The meal will never cease, neither will the priest run down till the day that drops and rain on the earth. Amen. Is it? There! With the last sustaining of life she had, she laid it on the fire of the cross and sought God first. Sought the whole cake out and give it to Elijah. And he ate it. I'd like to have one like that, wouldn't you? And he ate it, and she went back and took down a big whole cake out of a barrel and left to make one for her son and eat until the rain comes. Why? God, that is preacher. Faith cometh by hearing of the word. Invitations get out. Now, as soon as the invitations just get out, then excuses is made. Oh, yes, one married a wife and the other bought some oxen. You know the story. That's the way it is today. God made the supper ready, sent the preacher to preach the case. What happened? Oh, I can't go because I'm a deacon in another church. I just couldn't do that. Well, I couldn't go because it would lower my testing. Your testing. Then, oh, I couldn't go because I don't believe them old holy rollers acting like that. I'm going to live my life. Excuses was made. Oh, it's too great. I wouldn't want to do that. Excuses that. Well, I'm so tired when I come in at night. I can't go to church. That's excuses today. Oh, I'm afraid that husband wouldn't like it. I'm afraid my wife would kick me out of the house. She ought to, if that's the kind of man you are. But there you are. Excuses made. Many of them we can name. Excuses. Now, then the servant come back and said, Lord, that was down from Luther on down to Wesley. All kinds of excuses made. Oh, well, we got other things to do. But then, when the servant come back and said, I've done all this, and they got all excuses, that's what he said to the preacher now. Supper's already fixed. Amen. Already past time. But I want you to give the supper call now. Leave them alone. They will come anyhow. But go out and start a healing campaign. Bring in the lame, the blind, the halt. And everybody hollering today about healing campaigns to get a crowd. What's the matter with you, preachers? That's the lie of the Bible. Right. Go get the lame and the halt. That's the last call before the coming of the Lord, according to the Bible. Go out and call healing campaigns. Miracles and signs and wonders to be done. And bring them in, because I'm going to have my table set full. Amen. I've made it, I'll kill my fat ones, I'm going to have a real supper. And you go out and bring in the lame, the halt, the blind, the afflicted. Brother, that's a meal call. Divine healing is the program of today. That's God's last call, is divine healing. And then these fellows that wouldn't accept it and sit back with a big old dry theology tries to say that we put divine healing in the paper to get a crowd. Jesus said to you. Oh, that would make a Baptist shout if you had the same thing. Right? Divine healing is the order of the day. Now, even if you go out to say, now, on this last call, I want you to go out and bring them in and give them a fine, great big denomination to live by. I don't want you to do this, that, or the other. That wasn't in the program. He said, now, in the old rental, let's go back and get the custom, what he said to you. When the king made his supper, now, you know what? The bridegroom has the invitations was given, and all the lame, the halt, and the blind would come up, or whoever who was called and had an invitation, came. Now, it was customary that how could they come in if they were poor, and all different ways of dressing, and how could they ever look right? One sitting with a fine suit on, the other sitting with a pair of overalls, it wouldn't look right. So he said, now when the invitation was given, the bridegroom had to furnish the robe. That's the oriental custom. The bridegroom had to go and buy a robe for everyone that was invited. So that when the person come up and they only had one way, glory, thank Jesus God for that. No 960 different ways, but one way. Jesus said, I am that way. And the king's son, the bridegroom, stood at the door to receive the invitation, and each one they come with an invitation. The bridegroom received the invitation. The father had given the invitation. He came and handed it to the bridegroom. The bridegroom, in return, put a robe on every one that come in as a identification. Oh, my! Put a robe on everyone that, good or bad, rich or poor, all looked alike. Amen. Now, this robe is none other than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the robe. In a type, the robe that Elijah, which was the old prophet, a type of Christ, Elisha, followed him, succeeded him, was the type of the church. For the Elijah done 4, I believe, out, it might have been 8, 4, 8, I don't know for sure now, outstanding miracles, and Elisha, the church, asked for a double portion of his spirit. A double portion. And he said, keep your eyes towards heaven, man. And if you see me when I go up, you'll have it. And as Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, a cloud, a fire, and was received out of the sight of Elijah, Elijah threw back his robe, and Elijah cut it off, walked down to the Jordan and said, where is the God of Elijah? And done twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Jesus told the church, these things that I do shall you also, and more than this, a double portion of this. And they went up to the day of Pentecost, scared, powerless, helpless, and waited after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he threw back, sent down from heaven the very same power, the very same robe that he wore, come back and fell on the church. The Holy Ghost. the road. And it's something that when every man has been invited, and you can't go by the door of the church, Jesus said, I am the way. If you go by the church, you'll get all mixed up in theology and indoctrinated. Watch some of these old cold morgues around here, the spiritual thermometer goes 40 below zero. If you say amen, they'd run you out of the church. What we need today is an old-fashioned, God-sent, heaven-born, Holy Ghost revival that'll take the starch out of church members and get them back on the right path again to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need today. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I used to wonder why he could be a door. In the Orient, I find out that the shepherd is the door. He brings his sheep in and then lays down at the door to be sure the wolf or nothing else goes in there without him knowing it. That's the way it came up. He is the door. There's only one door to the sheepfold. The rest of it is a panoramic. Amen. I am the door to the sheepfold. By me you enter. No man can come to the Father except by the Son. No man can come by your church. No man can come by your priest. No man can come by any idol. No man can come by any man-made theology. I am the door. And if you come to Christ, Christ's life was taken at Calvary, opened up a wound in his side, and through there poured out the blood, the invitation to the church. And the only thing it does is turn a lost sinner and go right back into the same body and come out of. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Jesus said himself, except the man be born of water and of spirit, he will in no wise come to my supper. You gotta come by the water and spirit. There they were. When this robe come on, I don't mean some big robe that some company made out here. That's on the outside for man to be seen. But the robe that Christ gives you, you say, is it a robe? Yes. He told the woman, he said, let my son sit on one side and the other. He said, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be robed or baptized with the same baptism that I'm baptized with? He said, you will be. Amen. The Holy Ghost that was in Christ comes into the believer that's got the invitation to the supper, and he's counted as son because he becomes a part of the Father. Amen. I know you think I'm crazy, but if I am, let me alone. I'm happy this way. I feel better this way than just the other way when I have the right mind. Oh, it's wonderful. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. When that robe comes in, there's a little hidden power that comes down into your heart that all devils in hell can't make it out of. That hidden power. Not with a great big something across your forehead and a doctor of divinity wrote this way. It's an inside hidden power. Amen. It's been God's program since the first lamb was slain in the Garden of Eden. Or outside the garden. Right. Samson had it. He had a hidden power. A touch of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people say Samson had shoulders like a barn door. Well, it wasn't. Well, some of these here artists decide to paint his picture. That would be no mystery to me. To see a man with shoulders like barn doors slay a lion or take up a gate and walk away with it. But Samson was just a little bitty mama's boy. A little curly-headed shrimp, about like that. Now that's what fooled the people. And he was just an ordinary boy. Had seven little curls hanging down his back. Looked like a little sissy. That's right. Everybody laughed at him, the pipe of the Holy Ghost Church. And he was a weakling. But when the hour come that God wanted to use him, he was a giant, brother. God wants a church that he can lay his hands on. I don't care how little it is. Two or three get it in my name, I'll be in the midst. Now just speak in the name. He said, well, we gather in his name. Speaking the name of Jesus by word is not what he meant so much as it is the attitude that you're gathered in. The environment of the name of Jesus. When you gather in my name and ask what you will. It's the motive that you come in, the attitude. It's an attitude instead of so much of a calling a name. Sinners call that name on the street. Curse it, everything else. But it's the environment that you're in, the attitude that you come. Coming in Jesus' name. I could see Samson. He was on his road to see his girlfriend. Little sissy boys, little mommy, kicked his little curls up. And there he was going down to see his little girlfriend. And a great big lion ran out and roared at him. He was helpless. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God came on him. And he grabbed that lion like it was a little goat and poured it into him. What a man he was when the Spirit of God came on him. He had a hidden power. Amen. That had been given him. Well, that same Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost. It's a hidden power. Yes. And he flew the lion as if it would have been a kid. How powerful he was. Because he had a hidden power. Now, the man with this hidden power is not so much as you couldn't operate on him and find it. The doctor might cut him to pieces, but he looks like an ordinary man. And they wonder what it is. Some people think it's a rabbit foot that you rub behind your ear. But it isn't. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that's been brought in by divine grace, by God our Father, and filled that individual with his presence. You shall receive life, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life, dwelling in you. Oh, what a hidden power it is. Daniel had it. And when the lions run at him, the hidden power showed itself out and the lions got scared. Daniel had some hidden power. The Hebrew children had it. And when the fire started to burn them, it was hotter than the fire was. So it cut the fire out and cut the whole hidden power. Peter had it after Pentecost. And he went through the gate called Beautiful. And there let a man crippled from his mother's womb. Said, silver and gold have I none. But I got some hidden power I'll give you if you believe it. And he picked him up by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And you know what? He projected hidden power. And when that man's ankle bones got strong, he leaped in the air like a hawk and began to jump and praise the Lord. And these doctors of theology said, now I wonder what this is all about. Hidden power. Robes were given out. How the king giving out robes. Oh, God, today, sinner friend, you lukewarm church member. God's long-suffering. The reason this last call come in, rather the call for the sick and the afflicted and blind to be brought in because it's long past the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, you might differ with me on that, teacher, but I want to tell you something. Jesus said in St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And God was not willing that any should perish, but was long-suffering. God's long-suffering today. And he's making his last call. The afflicted, Now watch. And when they all come in and have their robes on, come to the door of the Lord Jesus, he says, that's where you come? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it's exactly right. Peter's introduced to him on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost was falling, now all them theologians was making fun and saying, well, ha! Look at this bunch of fanatics! Oh, that's like drunk people. And remember, my dear sister, the Virgin Mary had to be there just the same. And if God will not let her in outside of receiving that fanaticism, you'll never get there anything less than she did. You know that. She was right up there with the rest of them. And she acted just like the rest of them, drunk. Amen. What's the matter with you Pentecostal people? I'll be Pentecost is getting that old rough like the rest. You denominate yourself and draw lines and barriers and everything. That's what's happened to you. Right? And the law of separation. Get that old spooky thing away from you. Get free with God. Have prayer meetings. One fellow was telling me this afternoon, I don't mean this for any harm. I don't mean it for a joke. After the message last night, a sister comes in and said, you know what? He said, I've been using pancake makeup for a long time to hide pimples on my face. But so when that preacher got through like that, I went and washed my face. God bless you, sister. You're not far from the kingdom. Yes, brother. Get back to the old hearing line. You let the members come in and say, oh, you know who this is? This is Mr. Jones. This is John Corner. Oh, God, well, God, the Cadillac. Well, we couldn't, well, you know what? Oh, we couldn't afford not to take him because he's got the same windows in the building. You know, we got to take him to the church, Judge, when you weaken, brother. He'll have to pay the price like the rest of them did. I know of a church that took a member in just recently, and he was so worried that he didn't want to come out public in his church and confess Christ, and the preacher took him back in the other room and said, took him in the church. He ought to have took a foot and out the door with him. That's what he ought to have done. Was down the altar. That's exactly right. Oh, brother, when the weakens of preachers got a meal ticket in view, you ought to have the cross in view and Christ in view. So, no, God's going to make you pay for your little 55 ways you're doing. God wants man. Right. Man's not measured by how big his arm is, or man's measured by character. Certainly. Big man is proof. I've seen a man that weighed 200 pounds, didn't have an ounce of man in him. But man is measured by character. So is women measured by character. And if we are sons and daughters of God, what type of character ought we to be? Now, here's what's the matter. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he told us, well, how can we get into this supper? Peter said, repent, every one of you. Not walk up and shake hands with the preacher. Not go up and take the first communion. No, sir. There's no such thing wrote in the Bible. Could you imagine Acts 2 reading like this? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and one accord. And all of a sudden, the doctor bishop walked out and said, now we will take this man to right hand of fellowship and give him, put him into the church. Could you imagine? And when the day of Pentecost comes, that's the Protestant way, the Catholic way. When the day of Pentecost is fully come, the priests come out, the sinners come to the altar, licked out his tongue, cut a little wafer, the priest drank the wine, and they had it, the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Ghost, in other words. Don't sound right. But the Bible said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there never come up the road or out of behind the curtain, but there come from heaven a sound like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were standing. And it was so hot in there, the fire began to lick like tongues. That's a way to get rid of the thing. Brother Woods and Billy and I today walked down to the lake. And that old lake was really a-jumping. Oh, my. I'll tell you, the white caps is a-breaking. I love water. Any good Baptist does. So, oh, how the water was jumping. And I looked out there, And Brother Wood said, "Say, that thing's rough." I said, "It's got a revival." He said, "A what?" He looked around at me, and he said, "Now, I know you're a chief doctor." A chief doctor, that's the Indian name for greenhorn in Alaska. He said, I said, "Sure, it's got a revival." I said, "Don't you see how happy it is? It's just clapping hands in the jumping." See? But I said, "Brother Woods, there's no more water in it than when it's perfectly quiet." That's right. Well, then you wonder, why do you need a revival? What brings that rough water like that? A wind was coming. That makes a revival. And when the Holy Ghost comes like a rushing mighty wind, it brings a revival. And what did the revival do to the lake? Every bit of trash was on the Red Lake was washed out of the bank. That's what we need a revival for, is to wash some of the water trash out of the Holy Ghost tank. We need a rushing mighty wind coming from heaven. Some of the worldly denomination trash is brought in with us. They ought to have said that, but I still say it's the truth. God's Word. Have a revival. Get the waves to jumping again. You'll see all this match factor go out of business as far as the Pentecostal church is concerned, man. And some of you men will get that wishbone out of you and get a real He-Man backbone in you and make your life straighten up. Thank that little old daughter of yours running around there on the street and some man insult her, and then you go around with have the man arrested, you ought to have him with him. You're the guy. You, brother. That's right. You're the one. You ought to be the ruler of the house. God's holding you responsible the way you let that girl do. Let her come in at the nighttime, her hair all mucked up in a cigarette and paint all over her face. I've got to. I don't know what to do, but one thing, brother, as long as I've got life and a barrel strapped to any coat, I'll do my part. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe that they ought. You talk about the illiteracy of Kentucky. Brother, you all got a long ways to go before you come up to them up there. That's right. Let one of them gals come in like that. Much like that old mammy with that little old sunbonnet on her. She said, "Get yourself over here." When they hit her in, brother, I mean, she won't get out of the house for 3 or 4 days because she won't be able. And that's right. Then you say, "She's crazy." They said the same thing about Elijah sitting up there with some colored porters called crows bringing something to eat. Him drinking for all the time he wanted to, and it was a good fool. And there they were down there gnawing their tongues for pain, nothing to eat and starving. You're standing all right. Don't you feel sorry for these guys that shouting and praising the Lord and having a good time and living a holy life? Don't you feel sorry for them? They feel sorry for you. That's part of it. You're the one that needs to be sorry for. Now, Peter said there, he said, "Now what can we do if we want to receive this?" He said, "Repent." What is repent? You need to turn around. He was going with the world, turn around and go up towards God. Now you're looking down this way, look up this way. Repent! Run on with a big long face like this. Well, that's God, I've been in the church for 40 years. Then repent, look up this way, say, "Hallelujah," there it is. That's what you want to do. Turn around, look different. That's what you should do. Repent, every one of you. And not be sprinkled. No such a thing in the Bible. That's some of the dogma that you packed out of there before the Reformation. The Bible don't teach that. It said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive a robe." For the promises is to you. How are these robes going to get out? Is there a wedding supper to take place? That's right. Oh, for the first day go until. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that far off. What? Even as many as the Father gives the invitation to you. Is that right? As many as the Lord our God shall call. Is that the scripture? Well, if God's still giving out invitation, He's still got room. Lord, I'm so glad tonight for it, aren't you? Huh? Repent. Change your way of living. Look up towards God. God knocks at your heart. Then turn and repent. Say, yes, Lord. Don't look at the church any longer. Don't look at the people any longer. Look at him. Repent. Look this way. Then be baptized, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. For, according to Scripture, the promise isn't to you and to your children and to them as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The wedding supper's on. God's still giving the invitation. It's still, Jesus is the door. I am the door. He's still standing there, and everyone who comes by his invitation, he gives him a robe. Amazing thing. Not long ago, Brother Price just returned from science. And if Brother Tommy, I don't see him back there, but I guess he's down here somewhere. He's with him. And Brother Price told me at the Christian Businessman's Convention, before the audience, he said, Brother Branham, or to the audience, brother, excuse me, he said, those folks didn't even know which is right or left hand. They never seen a newspaper in their life. They never know there was an Eisenhower or MacArthur or anything else. They never seen as much as a screen door. But let those people who were perfectly pagan, and when they received the Holy Ghost, they act and do the same way that people does in Chicago when they receive the Holy Ghost. For the same robe that's put on here is put on there. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah! Oh, brother, shake your ecclesiastic self. Shake that church doctrine away from you. Come back to God. That's what the church needs tonight. The supper calls on. The robes are being given out. God is taking from the Gentile a people for his name's sake in the last days, bring them into campaigns of healing. The lame, blind, halt, and withered. These big darkies stuck up won't even come. They think they're better. So Jesus said, they won't taste my supper. Hallelujah! Taste and see the Lord is good. Well, taste like honey in the rock. Amen. Oh, how good it is. I see it in the church when the people would all be still, a little prayer meeting somewhere, sit the church and even lick their tongues. So good. Seriously speaking. Wonderful. Sure, honey. Reminds me of one time on a little fishing trip. I love to fish. And I was way up in northern Maine, or New Hampshire, the home of the white-tailed deer. A lot of brook trout in there, and I packed back for 3 days with a pack on my back. And I had a little old rusty 22 rifle laying there, but I was fishing. And one morning early, I walked away from my little tent and went down there to cut some sticks so that the that I could get my fly down in a nice hole there where I've seen some fine trout. I thought I'd get some trout in there for dinner. So I went down early and was cutting down some limbs. I got fooling around down, watching these trout and picking in little bugs and watching grab them and so forth. And I thought I'd better go back to the tent maybe and get me some breakfast. So when I got back to the tent, there'd been an old mother bear and two cubs got in there. They had deliberately tore the thing to pieces. And there they was, and a bear. It isn't what he eats, it's what he tears up. He just get a stovepipe, just jump on it like that to hear it rattle. And he's just mischievous. And these little cubbies, they're born in February. Their mother knows nothing about it. They're just a little big thing, about like a rat when they're born. And the mother's sound asleep. But she produces milk for those until about the middle of May when the thaw comes. And then the bear is a pretty good-sized fella when the mother sees him and he comes out. And then along this time of year, around June like this was, they're pretty good-sized bears. Oh, something standing on all four about this time, standing up. So I happened to look when I come up, the old mother spotted me, and so she cooed to her cubs, cut one of them on the ear with her hand, and run off. And she got over there, and one cub followed her, the other one wouldn't. So she cooed, you have to know, he's got a little waddle like a bird. If you hear a bear, he doesn't act so bad as people say he does. And he was making a little noise, and he's trying to get that other cub. Well, I see this little cub sitting with his back turned. And I said, what's the matter with that fellow?
Well, she acts like she's coming back. Well, she can climb better than I can. So I didn't want to kill her. I had a hatchet in my hand and leave them orphans in the woods. So I thought, get away from that fellow. So go on over your man. But he wasn't going. He was going to step right there. So I didn't know what he was doing. And his mother cooed several other times and kept running around this other cousin. I see she's getting all worked up. So I thought, I'll see what's interesting that little fellow to hold his attention, even me, a man standing here, with axe in my hand, little chopping axe. And I said, wonder why you don't run? Usually a bear will just take off. But I walked around to one side, and to my amazement, that's the cutest thing I ever seen. You know, I like pancakes and molasses. I don't know where you get to. And I like plain molasses on my pancakes. And I'm a Baptist, you know, and I don't believe in sprinkling. I just pour them on real heavy. So I always take me a big bucket of molasses. And this little bear had got in there and got my bucket of molasses. And he had that lid off of it. He was sitting down like this with all hugs in his arms, stocking his little foot down and licking it. And I said, well, I said, get away from there. And when he looked around, he couldn't see me. His eyes was all stuck full of molasses. He looked at me like that, looked back, and started stocking his little foot again. So he cleaned that bucket out. And I thought, brother, if that ain't an old-time Pentecostal meeting, he's passing out every street one. Got his hand in there. A honey bucket come up to his arm like this, just to stop and wait. No condemnation at all. No fear, no nothing else. Only he's doing stopping. No one takes like honey to run. But the same thing was, when he finally stopped the bucket out, and he went over there where his mammy was, his little brother, and his mammy began to lick him. Getting some of the honey. Wonderful! Notice, I'm marvelous. Now, when the rope was all given out, the people come by the way. Every man that come to the door got a rope. So the Bible goes ahead now and closing for a moment. Notice, as it goes on, the Bible says that the supper was made, and all the lame and the halt and the blind come up and got ready, got on a rope and went in. And after a while, after the great table was set, the king come out himself, the bridegroom. And to his surprise, there was a man there that didn't have on any robe. Wonder what he was. Was he a Presbyterian? Was he a Pentecostal? He didn't have on any robe. He was just dressed in his ordinary street garb. Now, Jesus never called him a devil. He said, friend, how did you get in? There's one thing sure, he hadn't come by the door. If he had come by the door, he'd got a robe. But he'd climbed up some other way. He went by church. Now, as soon as I'm standing here, there's going to be that type of people there. He must have come by the way of the church. He must have come to some man-made theology, shake a hand, be sprinkled or something. He didn't come to the door. If he hadn't repented, been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just exactly like the apostles did. That's the door they went in. That's the door you have to go in. That's the door everybody has to go in. Because he is the door. He is the bridegroom. He stands there, and the Father gives the invitation, calls you, and you come up, and he gives you the robe to come in. And every man receives it just the same way. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, come out and receive God, accept God, be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, and the Holy Ghost comes in and fills you, just like it did on the day of Pentecost, the same way. But this man must have come in a window. He slipped in. Now look, and when the king, the bridegroom, said to him, friend, how did you get in? That showed there had been some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost preachers down on the ground. For he stood speechless. He had set maybe in the Chicago meeting, see? He knew better, and he knew before God, he couldn't say, I never heard about it, for he had been in some Holy Ghost meetings. He had seen the lame healed, the blind, and seen the great miracles of God, so he stood speechless. And what did God say to that man? Bind him hand and foot to outer darkness, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Suit yourself, friend.
That's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ's own word. It was only a parable. It was a prophecy. And it'll be that way someday. So tonight, while the gates are open and the waters are flowing free, and everything is ready, and the Father knocks at your heart and says, "Son, you've been playing church long enough. It's time for you to get right. I'd advise you to go to the door and get a robe on and come to the supper." Shall we pray? Dear Lord, nothing thrills our heart more than hearing your word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of thy word. I pray, God, that this revival that's going on now, or this convention, will turn into an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival in the coming weeks, coming days, brother. I pray that you'll stand down such anointed blessings upon the people, so the lame and the blind and the withered and the halt and maimed shall be healed, and that many that are laying in the waysides and on the streets today will be brought in and not only healed physically, but be given an invitation to come to the wedding supper and receive a robe. Grant it, Father. Bless them. And if there be any of those type here tonight, Father, may they now know that you are knocking at their door, the heart door, the very gate of the soul. And I pray, Father, that if there's any here in that condition that has never come to thee and been born again and never received the Holy Spirit, I pray, Father, that you will put conviction on their heart at this moment, and they will reverently raise their hand to thee and say, "By this, Lord, I know that I am wrong, and I want you to have mercy upon me and give me the robe of the righteousness of the Son of God." For Lord Jesus, set before us is a great dark door to every mortal here tonight and in the world. It's called the door of death. Every time our heart beats, we get one step closer to that door. Someday we have to go in. Oh God, speaking for myself, Lord, I want to go to that door with this one thing. I want to wrap myself in the robes of His righteousness, of this assurance that I know Him in the power of His resurrection, that when He calls, He'll call me from among the dead. Dear God, grant Solomon tonight that desire of every heart, as we know that we don't know how many more beats we got before we meet eternity. Give that desire in every heart, and may they express the same as I ask them to raise their hands. And while we have our heads bowed, solemnly in the presence of God, I wonder if you're without a robe tonight. If Jesus would come, though you're a member of the church, literal here on earth, but you've never come in to the door. You've never got the robe of Christ. Don't try to stand in your own righteousness. Don't stand in your own ability of the Word of God. You might be a marvelous preacher. Satan said, "I'll preach you anytime." He knows more about the Word than you'll ever know. Certainly. Those Pharisees and Sadducees, why, they know more about the Word than any of our scholars will ever know. But they didn't know Jesus. To know the Word's not life. To know your catechism's not life. To know your church doctrine's not life. But to know Him is life. Do you know Him? Since He's made Himself acquainted with you to give you an invitation, and you receive His role, His righteousness. God forbid, I couldn't stand in my righteousness. I have none. Neither could you. Let's take His righteousness tonight. Just yield ourselves to Him and let Him fill us full of His righteousness, the Holy Ghost, and work for Him till He comes. Is that desire in any heart here that would raise your hand to God? God bless you, young man. May He make a minister for you. God bless you, and you, you, you. Oh my, just look at the hands up in the balcony. God bless you up there. That's right. Raise your hand. It might not seem very much, but the recording angel will take it down and certainly going to send you. God bless you, my colored brother there. That's right. Put your hand up. Is there a wayward person here that's got out of the way? God bless you over here, lady. Someone else. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, lady. God bless you, young lady. And you, lady. That's right. But straight away from your way, and by uplifted hand, say, "Jehovah, you're knocking at my heart. You're the one telling me right now, you've been wrong. You've never received the Holy Spirit in life. Prove that you haven't. I don't care. You might have spoken the tongues. You might have jumped and shouted. That's all goes with it. But unless God has vindicated that, I don't have nothing to do with it. I've seen witches speaking tongues and interpretation and jumping, dancing, and everything else. But I mean a real vindication of the love of God is poured into your heart. Then you're speaking in tongues and hands is all right when that kind of life packs it up. But if you've got a temper and selfish and denominational mind and you don't want the fellowship of nobody else because they don't belong to your church, brother, you're wrong. The Spirit of God doesn't do that. It loves its brother and whatever church it's in. When you raise up the hand of Christ, somebody has you say, by this God, forgive me for my stupidity, and I now will accept the role that you'll only give a sinner. God bless you. God bless you, lady. God bless you over there. Yes, Lord. God bless you, lady. You. Down the pit down here. I see someone. I around on the right-hand side of the balcony. If he's not, my dear friend, we may never meet again in this world. We may have to leave here without seeing each other again. But let me go on the book of heaven tonight, and the recording will take it down. I've invited every one of you to receive Christ, to be born again. I've not shunned to declare you the whole gospel, though it hurts sometimes, but I'll say one thing. I'm innocent of the blood of men and women. Are you ready to receive Christ once more? Come. Their eyes flashing like that and begin to scream and cry. Too late then. It went on. There's a way to see them right. But why, if you're not positive now that you're passing death like God's Spirit there in regular yours, one more verse, and while we're saying this verse, not to me, not to anyone else, every head bowed, eyes closed, raise your hand to God and say, remember me, Father. I want to go on record in heaven tonight as my hand. But I'm speaking to you. I want forgiveness of my stupid sins, and I want forgiveness, and I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I raise my hand to you, saying, my dear, come. Gathered here, Christ is here, every hand that went up they're receiving that invitation from Father. He knocked at their hearts, and you said, all the Father has given to me will come to me. We know that's true, Father, and we're so thankful. Now, in your own way, will you give to them the baptism of the Holy Ghost, put the robe of Christ around them, and may they stand in His righteousness alone. Grant it, Lord. Bless their souls, and young men raising their hands, call them into the ministry, Lord. Let them go into the hedges and highways and ditches, pull out the lame, halt, and blind. Grant it, Father. And when we all meet there at that day, we'll praise Thee. Now Thy word is said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. It shall not come into judgment, but pass in death of life. Grant, Lord, to live a peaceful, happy life, loving and serving me and bringing forth fruits. Grant, Lord, until we meet it at great day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. So happy to have had this time of talk with you and little fellowship later tonight than ever. One of us boys and all got to drive for nearly 300 miles tonight. Now, how many feels real good? Just say the Lord just blessing me and I just feel so good. Thank you. I feel so good with you. Now, there's many years to be prayed for. How many in the building is to be prayed for? Let's see, it wants to be prayed for. Raise your hands everywhere. Balconies and everywhere, it desires to be prayed for. Oh, brethren, if you're somewhere, you see what a job you have on hand now. How many believe that Jesus is raised from the dead? If Jesus is raised from the dead, he'll do the same thing tonight that he did when he was here. If he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will he do it? Do you believe he will? When Jesus was here, did he claim to be a healer? No. He claimed he wasn't a healer. Is that right? It's not me that doeth the work, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Now, do you believe God was in Noah? The Spirit of Christ in Noah? Sure. Was it in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph? Was it in David when he looked over Jerusalem being dethroned and rejected and wept? And the Son of David came 200 years later and wept over Jerusalem too as the Spirit of Christ in David. But then it was in a potion as prophets and so forth. But when it comes to Christ, he was the fullness of the Godhead. In him dwell all. God was in Christ. Christ was God. Christ was the human body of Jehovah God. God and Christ were one. And God was in him reconciling the world to himself. For he had the Spirit without measure. He did nothing, he said, except the Father showed him. Now, he knew the secrets of the heart. He could perceive the thoughts and all that. And then he healed the sick as the Father showed him. Did he heal everybody he's come in contact with? No. Just as the Father showed him, he said. St. John 19, or 5:19, he said, I'll do just as very, very I say to you, I do nothing of myself. The Son can do nothing in himself. But what the Father showeth the Son, that is the Son like God. Now, it's a prayer card, God. And we're strangers, so this has never been in the meeting. Now, friends, we're not healers. You won't hear Brother Osborne, or you won't hear Brother Tommy Hicks, or Brother Ogilvie, any of them say that they're healers. We don't. No, sir. They're good, sound men. They won't say they're healers. They say God sent them to pray for his sick children. That's what we do. Now, but we don't do now. They give them a gift. Now, Brother Osborne is a marvelous teacher. Brother Tommy is teacher too, and both of them are real, real hold-on saints. Brother Ogilvie the same way. And so they hold on to God. Mine is the prophetic gift. It sees, foretells. And so that's the difference. That's all the saints do. Now we're going to call some of the prayer, 1 to 101. What? 2? Well, we started 7 last night and went up to about, 15 or 20. Let's start from 25 tonight. 225. Who has 225? Raise up your hand. All right. Go right down there, if you will. All right. Billy, if you will, go down there just for me. I want everyone real reverent. Now, if there's anybody feels that you must go in the next 10 minutes or 15, I would read that now so you won't disturb.
Okay.
25. Now, in, I want you to do this. Now, if you have to go, if you really have to go, manifestation and everything that he ever was, he is tonight. Don't you believe that?
Right.
Now, if he will return to this audience, I want you to know this little gift that the God has given me, and I appreciate, but I'm not a preacher. I am his servant, see? And I don't operate that. You do that yourself. Your faith does that. I have nothing to do with it. It's just me yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now look, there was a woman who had a blood issue one time. How many believe that God was in Christ?
Sure.
All right. A woman with a blood issue walked over and touched his garment and went back and hid herself and even denied that she touched him. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. Peter said, everybody touched you. Why do you say that? He said, but I got weak. Virtue went from me. And he looked around, all denied. And that faint word was going. Went back to the little woman and told her. Is that right? Now, what was it? Jesus didn't know. He was a man in human flesh. He was a man. But the woman touched God through Christ. See what I mean? Now, you touch him the same way. Now, Jesus' corporal body is sitting at the right hand of God in the majesty and high as a sin offering. And then his spirit that was in that body has come back into predestined, foreordained offices in the church that you touch God the same way to these bodies. That's not in their own self, not worthy, sure not. But they don't stand in their own righteousness. They stand in the robe of the Lord Jesus and his righteousness. To declare his word. See what I mean? All right? Now have faith. Now, you're the one who does it. Jesus did just as the Father showed him. Now, if God will do that in return on this night before I turn the services to our dear beloved brother evangelist that's going to continue the meeting, how many of you say solemnly with all my heart, I believe it. If you'll do it again tonight, I believe it with all my heart and accept it. Let's see your hands. Everywhere now, before God. God bless you. All right. Now, Brother Woods, yes. Before I forget it, I'll ask for every chance. Heavenly Father, you know the people that sent me tonight, just and I pray as I ask your blessing. I realize, Lord, it's not much, but will you receive your poor, unworthy servant's prayer, and will heal every one that he's handed to represent. May when he goes to those little sick children, and dad and mother, and son and daughter, I pray, Father, that you will heal every one of them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Are you all going to stay with me and pray? Hello. This is hard, Sam. I suppose all of you in here are Christians. I hope you are. If you're not, you should be. But now God comes in his word, vindicates his word. Now I want you to be real reverent, just like you had plenty of time. And you don't want to get excited. You upset, and you upset someone else. And you're all a part of God. See, it's the body, a moving. If his hands are hurting, the same thing, how can his hand work out? See, it's all got to be in unity and quiet in the fact it was at Pentecost. All expecting something to happen. Now, it happens to be tonight that this is a very outstanding time again of two people meeting as they did in the Bible time. I believe, as we said tonight, the reason Micah had the truth about this 400 prophets because he had the Bible, the Word of God. He stayed with the Bible. And everything must be right with the Bible. If it isn't, I don't say God couldn't do what God, but I believe just what he says, and that's enough for me. Now, here's a woman, a colored lady, near a white man. And here she comes walking up here tonight. I've never seen this woman in my life. I suppose we change this one another, are we, lady? You know me? This woman says that 4 years ago she came to the Philadelphia church and was just a little bitty thing like that, eat up with cancer, and I prayed for her, and look at her now. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? God bless her. But now, probably in 4 years, I've probably prayed for many, many hundreds of thousands of people since then. And you're just coming on the platform, and especially if the anointing will come tonight and will strike me tomorrow. You know the only way I know what I said to you? And them recorders, that was Tim Boyne, see here? And them recorders, they play it back to me, and I see what I said. Okay? But to know you or know what you're here for, I know not, do I? Don't know a thing about it. And then there's a colored woman, a white man. One time that happened as Jesus was going down to Jericho. And he had need to go by Samaria. I wonder why. I believe the Father is sending up there, don't you? Because the footsteps of a righteous man is ordained of God, and ordered of God. Now, Jesus goes up there, so he sends all his disciples away, and a Samaritan woman. And there was a great segregation and age, just like there is today, between the different races. But Jesus told her, right quick, there's no difference. We're all one. The country you were raised in, where your native home comes from, down in the south in Africa, hot down there, turns the skin dark, and I come from up in the Anglo-Saxon country where it's cold and we were bleached out. But we can give one another blood, thank you. There's the same God made of all nations, one blood. Right. And it just happens to be that tonight the same picture reverses and comes again. Isn't that right? And so Jesus said to that woman when she came out, she's a woman of ill fame, we should believe. And Jesus said to her, not knowing her, never seen her in his life, he said, bring me a drink. Why, she said, it's not customary for Jews to ask American stuff. We don't have any dealings. These are racial segregation. Jesus said, but if you know who you're talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. And I'd bring you water, give you water, you don't come here to drink. The conversation went on for a while. Did you ever stop to think what Jesus was sharing that conversation for? Did the audience ever think of that minister? Did you ever think why he talked to her? Now, here's my own belief. I think he was contacting her spirit. Because I know it works the same way here. See? Contacting her spirit. And as soon as he got her contact, he found where her trouble was, and he told her what her trouble was. Is that right? What her trouble was. And he said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have any. He said, that's right. He got five, and the one you have now is not your husband. And what did she say? She said, sir, I perceive that you are a what? Prophet. She said, now we know, we Samaritans, we know that when the Messiah cometh, he'll do these things. He'll tell us these things. But who are you? He said, I'm here to speak to you. And she dropped her water pot and run into the city. That was a sign of the Messiah. Is that right? Anybody that ever read the fourth chapter of St. John? Is that right? Whoever read the first chapter of St. John, when the Jew come to Jesus, and he said, behold an Israelite in whom there's no God. He said, Rabbi, when did you know me? He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. He said, thou art the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Is that right? If that was a Messiah sign to the Jew, Messiah sign to the Gentile, or to the Samaritan, what would it be to the Gentile? Now, God in his right days has taken the Gentile for his enemy. A Samaritan was half Jew and Gentile. All right. But now, what is it for us? It'll be the same sign if the Messiah is the same. Do you believe he is? Does the Bible say he is? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The things that I do a little while in the world, that's just starchy. They won't see me no more. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't step on. Are you sincere here, my boy? The lady seems to move away from me. And she's got a trouble in her side. And that's in her left side. And she also, I see her like a smothering or something. It's when she lays down, especially it's in her heart trouble, causing her to have heart condition. That's
the truth. I keep seeing somebody else come to you, going away in a vision. It's another person that you want prayer for. You're wanting to ask me for prayer for a person. If someone's got something wrong with their feet, it's got a foot trouble, sores on their feet. That's exactly right. That's true. You believe Jesus is here? You believe Jesus is here? Come here, my sister. Heavenly Father, your blessed being here so close, we mortals are privileged of seeing your spirit and infallible truth here moving among your people. I pray thee, Heavenly Father, to be merciful. And thou who healed this woman once, beating up with cancer, how minor these things are. Then, Heavenly Father, the Word has said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And this I do, in Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you, my dear sister, and grant you the blessings of God. Now, out in the audience, I want you to believe, you without prayer cards now, you that doesn't have prayer cards, start believing, saying that God will visit you. Just have faith now. Believe with all your heart. Now, I suppose, ladies, that we're strangers to each other. All right. Now, here the scene changes. This is a white woman. Now, here we stand for our first time in life. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, knows both of us. Are you really believing? Just have faith now. Something went on in the audience. I didn't get it just right. Now, if you just keep praying, keep believing, surely God is here to make well those who desire to be well. Now that the ladies that stand by me, you don't have to look at me or nothing, but I just speak to you. Being a stranger to you, of course, only God knows you. I don't. But if God will speak here and let me know about you or what you're here for, will you believe with all your heart and will accept Christ as your provider for whatever you have need of? All right. May He grant it to you. You are bothered with a growth, and a growth is in your breath. It's in your left breath.
Got it.
That's right. You are a minister's wife, too.
Right.
You're not from this country. You're from another state, the state of Missouri. I believe a little city called Sullivan or something like that. You're praying for someone else, too, the person who has tumor that you're praying for. Your name is something like Garner or something like that, isn't it? Now, do you believe the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
Right. Now, who knew who Peter was?
Yes.
That's how I know who you are. Now, do you accept Him as for everything you come for?
Yes.
Would you come close to Him? I might ask you questions. Now, Heavenly Father, the little woman practically beside herself at this time, because this great projection of the Holy Spirit moving over on her, and she realizes that man cannot do these things, that comes from God alone. I lay my hand upon the woman, not remembering at this time what the vision showed,
But whatever her desire is, Father, I pray that you grant to her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. All right, would you bring her? That's it. If thou canst believe, said our Lord Jesus, all things are possible. You believe that? How do you do, sir? Is a line coming from this woman, from that woman, to this man? Spirit. I wish I could explain it. I can't. It's not the big thing. That lady has a kind of a heart trouble, smothering. Yes. That's right. This man does too. That bell's trying to get by with that speed, but he can't do it. You have a rupture too, don't you, sir? Hey, you're a preacher. Pentecostal preacher. You want me to tell you what church you belong to? Then it's a God. Go believe in my brother. But let go, brother. You know the Lord bless you. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. If thou canst believe, little lady, sitting right down the line from where the lady was healed just now, your prayer down there for your grandson, I see him standing before you. He's suffering with an asthmatic condition, kind of coughing in his throat. And he has a hay fever too that bothers him. That's true. That's thus saith the Lord. Take that handkerchief that you raised to God and put on the child. Have faith, don't doubt. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. How do you do, sir? I have never seen you in my life, sir. I'm a total stranger to you. You're aware that something you're walking into is not your brother, aren't you? You know that you're walking into his presence. And not a man. A man's presence doesn't make you feel that way. But it's him. Now, God is a healer. You were given a prayer card. Come up here. See, those people didn't come up here. They had no prayer card. Only thing you have had faith. Now, if God will let me know what you're here for, will you accept it? If I could help you and wouldn't do it, I'd be a brute. But I am your brother. I'm your Christian brother, a servant of the Lord Jesus. By divine gift, I might be able to help you to have faith to accept the Lord Jesus, as to give you what you want. If you will let me know what you want, then you will accept what you are going to ask me for. The first thing you're going to ask me to pray for you for a nervous condition. You're very nervous. That is right. But you have a great burden. That's right. You believe she'd get well? You believe that God would restore her again? Put her back in her right mind and make her well? You brought her home, didn't you? From an institution. Your daughter. And she's just like a maniac. You can't do nothing with her. You have to take her back. That's the condition she's in at this hour. But will you believe, my brother? If you believe with all your heart, you can go find the child as you believe. Would you do it? Heavenly Father, I pray that your blessing will be upon this request. Grant, Lord God. I ask this blessing solemnly, Lord, for your glory. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I ask this. Grant, Lord. Oh, God, grant for your glory. God bless you, sir. And you find it even as you have believed. You put your hand up way over there, lady, way down in here on the end of the row.
You got arthritis. Got a little tie on you. I see you trying to move from your bed stiff of a morning. God's seen you too, put up your hand. Can you believe? May the Lord God bless you, sister. I see the vision move over to the next lady. She's praying too. That leper trouble would leave you, lady, if you believe the Lord Jesus. Would you? The lady sitting next to you has feet trouble. That's right, lady. Would you believe the Lord Jesus too? All right. What's your hand on the next lady with heart trouble? The elderly lady with the little round hat on. Do you believe for her? And then you can all be healed. Do you believe? Let us have a prayer for you. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that in Christ's name that you will heal and make well. Grant us eternal and blessed God for your glory and grant these blessings upon the entire audience. I pray that you will grant it, Father. And may your eternal blessings rest. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. What if I told you, sister, that God's hearing your request while you're sitting there? Would you take my word for it? Well, I don't think that's one thing. Or isn't he wonderful? God is wonderful. He can heal to the uttermost, isn't that right? Make well, heal. God heals anything, doesn't make any difference to him, does it? He can make it. And when the doctor operates and makes the place, and it won't heal up like your feet have been all the time, he can make it well. Do you believe it, sister? And go and receive your healing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have faith in God. You believe? All the audience are believing. The Lord Jesus, how many out there is ready to believe at this time? He's lovely, sweet, kind. Just have faith. What about you wheelchairs over there? What do you think about it? Do you believe it? Look this way and believe. Anywhere in the building, not in the audience, anywhere. Look, live, believe. Let's look to the wheelchairs for a minute. I couldn't hear you. You couldn't hide yourself all. This spirit is here. I see a lady that's got a black shadow hanging over. There's a headed lady sitting in a wheelchair. She has cancer. Very bad. That's in the lungs, too. She's in a terrible condition. And ladies, greater than that, I see another black channel following you. You need Jesus as your Savior. You've never been converted. And you need Christ as your Savior. Would you not accept him as your Savior? Would you do it? Then I'd get up out of that wheelchair and take it and push it out the door and go home and be made well without peace. God's sins be forgiven in the name of the Lord. While you're on your feet, will you believe the Lord Jesus? Raise up your hands to your feet. I challenge your faith. Oh Lord, creator of heavens and earth, author of everlasting life and giver of every gift. I come to thee, Lord. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, and may he lighten up this spirit. May he now condemn and drive away every spirit of doubt, all the darkness, and may Satan turn them loose. Lord, I know you're here, and the only thing that's keeping you from being the greatest fight they ever seen is that little unbelief hanging over. I challenge that unbelief. I challenge it by the Word of God. I challenge it by the Holy Ghost. I challenge it in Jesus' name. Come out of this building. Leave this people. In Jesus Christ's name, come out of them. And may every one be perfect and healed as well, rising from their top stairs, walking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.